Welcome to Making America Strong Again, the only program dedicated to inspire you and to inspire a nation with stories of American exceptionalism and national restoration. Join fellow patriots as we rediscover our past, reignite our future, and celebrate America now.
Welcome to Making America Strong Again. This is Steve Olds. It's my privilege to be with you today from our studios in South Florida. I'd like to welcome all of our listeners on the iHeart Radio Network, as well as our PatriotPodcast.com downloads. So we thank you for listening. We thank you for sharing this broadcast with everybody you know, because Making America Strong Again is a really, really important thing to do right now. Today, we're going to continue with a new series that we started and introduced last week on leadership. Leadership, as we discussed, is something that is crucial to our nation. It's crucial to our local communities, but most importantly, it's crucial for our families. Leadership begins in the home. It begins in the relationship we have with our kids, with our parents, with our spouse. Most importantly, as John Maxwell says, everything rises and falls on leadership. So no matter what your purpose in life is, no matter what direction you're headed, leadership is going to be important to you. Many people, as we've talked about, haven't really understood leadership in a personal way. They think about leaders on the big stage, whether that's a sports stage or a political stage or a Hollywood stage. Many people don't see themselves as leaders. We believe one of the most important and crucial elements to making America strong again is leadership development. That is raising up a new generation of leaders. And that new generation doesn't necessarily mean just young people. Obviously, young people are a big part of that, but we need everybody who is interested in making America strong again to understand their leadership capabilities and their pursuit of America's greatness. So whether you are a senior, whether you are working hard every day, whether you're a stay-at-home mom doing your best to raise your kids, whatever it is you're doing right now, look in the mirror and begin to see the leader in you. We're launching this series of interviews that is going to happen over a successive period of weeks because it's important that you hear from people from around the country that have a variety of leadership experiences. But more importantly, a number of personal experiences that have developed their leadership capabilities. And today I'm privileged to be joined in studio by Rudy Lako from Dallas, Texas, who is a good friend. And in full disclosure, he's also our Senior Vice President for Operations for Patriot Mission. But before he's joined us, he served a long career in the United States Navy, retiring as a Navy captain, has extraordinary experience. And Rudy, it's a privilege to have you with us today.
Well, good morning, Steve, and it's really great to be back here in Florida. My last assignment was I was a Commodore for a destroyer squadron up in Jacksonville, so it's great to be back in Florida, and I look forward to continuing this talk with you about leadership.
Awesome. So, Rudy, one of the things that we've learned as we've gotten to know each other is how important it is to be able to share and just be able to talk straight, you know, to be able to share what's really on our hearts and our minds, because that's how people like to communicate. You know, we don't need a lot of pontification and PowerPoints, although we need those occasionally. What we really need to do is just get down to it. So help us understand, give us a little bit about your background and what were some of the guiding forces in your life in terms of developing leadership and just your personal experience growing up.
Well, I think, for me, it started early on in my, as a young child, my background includes, our family has a history of family members that were in the military, and it started with my grandfather that was on my mother's side, and he served in the Army during World War II, and he was a Philippine scout, and he was actually in the Death March in the Bataan Death March back in World War II, and and I didn't realize it back then when we would used to go for family reunions, and I had some private time with my grandfather. He never talked about that time. He never talked about what happened during the war. But what he always shared with me was, you know, I remember riding in the car with him to go and do a variety of different things. But he would, you know, talk about the opportunity that was ahead of you and be able to take advantage of that and do those things throughout your life. And that America had a lot of great things to offer. And what he did was, you know, the Army actually offered him an opportunity to come to America and join the United States Army. And he started from the very ground floor as an enlisted soldier and then made it all the way through the ranks as one of the first warrant officers in the Army.
Wow. So that's impressive.
Pretty amazing feat. And so, you know, he took advantage of that and was able to take care of his family and his kids. My father did the same thing. He enlisted in the Navy as a young 18-year-old and joined the Navy and then was able to come to the United States and then earned his citizenship. And then he and my mother had met, and that's how I'm here today. So I took all that in. There was I watched my father as he made it through the ranks in the Navy and took advantages of different opportunities that were available to him.
Rudy, one of the things that we've spent a lot of time talking about, and obviously we were in Plymouth together, we go back and we look at the history and we really help people understand the importance of it. And I realize we don't have 3 hours today, but can you give us a snapshot? You talked about what it was like for your grandfather to be a Filipino scout and to be in the Bataan Death March. Can you give us just a snapshot for people that may have no idea what that means or what that was in World War II? Just help us understand and put it in some context.
Well, I will tell you that, part of, you know, that time frame was, you know, the folks that had participated in that, you know, it was just a time that was, you know, pretty brutal time in the war. And, you know, for me, my grandfather never wanted to talk about that time. And, you know, I think that he had colleagues that would get together, but they would share that very privately. And you know, what had happened during that march across the Philippines to a prisoner of war camp, that time, everyone that I met, they didn't want to talk about that. For me joining the Navy, I went through the Navy ROTC program, and I had gotten a scholarship and went to Texas A&M University. And there actually the reason I had chose Texas A&M because there were ties of officers that were in the Corps cadets that were in the Army that were part of that same death march in Bataan. And so, you know, some of those roots and traditions. You know, really what came out of all that was just a huge camaraderie and the folks that came back, you know, they didn't talk about that. They talked about, you know, being able to take advantage of the opportunity and being proud of protecting the freedom that we had and all the things that came from that.
So it might be said that experience, like many that you've had personally, that people across the country are having, their, you might call it a crucible. It's a crucible. It's a place where your personal experiences come together in a way that make you stronger and really force you to look inward and begin to manifest in the leadership experiences that you have with other people, because it's clear your grandfather's leadership for you and for your dad had a huge impact. So what have you done in your career in terms of beginning to develop your leadership perspective, and what is it that really drives your view on leadership?
Well, you know, one of the things that I guess came out of all that was that for me it was a need to be able to give back. So, you know, everywhere I've been and throughout my career, you know, it's an opportunity to be able to, give back to my family, give back to the country, and to help serve others. And, you know, now I guess that's a big part of what we in the Navy called our command philosophy was, you know, the ability to be able to help mentor the talent and the professionals that work for you and help them continue to grow and become better at what they do every day. And so, I was very fortunate in the Navy to be able to have some great leadership opportunities. I was able to have command. I was a captain of three different ships, two smaller ships and then a larger Navy frigate. And then later in my career, I was able to take command of a destroyer squadron. And I think it all kind of came together for me and being able to really help out. I got the phone call and said, hey, we need some help in serving on board the USNS Comfort, which was the hospital ship that went down to Haiti to help with the earthquake, and being put in charge of that mission on board the Comfort, and all the, from one day you have a staff of 25 people, and now 2 days later you're in charge of 1,200 folks that are in charge of figuring out what we need to do to help the people in Haiti that were affected by the earthquake, and so it definitely was a the leadership that you had to exhibit and being able to put together a team to be able to handle that was kind of the culmination of your career, trying to be able to do all those things.
Rudy, it's interesting because what you're describing is that Navy career, which was in fact a crucible, and it brought a lot of pieces together for you. And you came to a place where life and death were on the line there in Haiti for a lot of people. And so the implementation, and one of the factors is you never know when it's going to hit. You never know when stuff's going to happen. And so being ready for it is crucial. So when we come back from the break, what we're going to want to talk about is how do we apply and how do you look at applying those lessons and how our listeners can apply it to their lives right now? What's on the table for them? How do they look at the future and how they can be better leaders? So we'll be right back.
Making America Strong Again is brought to you by Patriot Mission. To learn more about national restoration, get free resources at www.makingamericastrongagain.com.
At Surf Pro of Vero Beach, no job is too big and no question is too small. So when fire, water, or mold damage strikes your home or business, call on Surf Pro of Vero Beach at 772-770-0501. That's where you'll find a team of specialists that's faster to any size disaster. So when the things that matter most are on the line, make sure Surf Pro of Vero Beach is too by calling 772-770-0501. That's Surf Pro of Vero Beach, helping make fire, water, and mold damage like it never, ever happened. Franchises are independently owned and operated.
Hi, this is Kelly Fisher, a supporter of the Making America Strong Again mission and your local real estate professional here on the Treasure Coast. It has been my honor to serve our community here in Vero Beach since 2003. And with over 1,500 home sales over the past 21 years, it's my hope that you will consider the Kelly Fisher team at Treasure Coast Sotheby's International Realty for all your real estate needs. It's also our desire that every family has a home and every home has a family. And we have partnered with the Homeless Family Center of Vero Beach to work toward that goal. When you buy or sell a home with the Kelly Fisher team, we will make a substantial contribution toward alleviating homelessness in our hometown. To be a part of this great mission, please call us at 772-321-6905.
Welcome back to Making America Strong Again, the program dedicated to inspire you and to inspire a nation with stories of American exceptionalism and national restoration. Once again, here's your host, Steve Olds.
Well, today we're speaking with Rudy Laco from Dallas, Texas, who has ended his Navy career and transitioned to a new position in the private sector with a phenomenally growing company called Patriot Mission. How's that for unabashed personal promotion? So, Rudy, it's great to have you back with us. One of the things that we want to talk about is the applications. You talked about in the first segment some of the experiences that you had, your family experiences that really helped develop that leadership skill and talent in you, leading all the way up to the incredible rescue mission in Haiti on board the U.S. naval ship Comfort, or nursing ship. So tell us a little bit about what it is that you think about in terms of applying and helping other people apply leadership in their lives and really developing leaders across the country.
Well, I guess the biggest thing is that, you know, I've been very fortunate to work with some great teams throughout my career. And, you know, and how do you develop that team to be able to do what you need to do, you know, to meet that mission? You know, some of the things that you have to there's some qualities you have to have when you're a leader of a great team. And you know, one of the things that I learned early on from some of my mentors was, you know, if you take care of the people that work for you, they'll take care of you, and you'll be successful. So that's something that I've always taken on board in all the different jobs that I've had in the past. You know, you have to have a lot of patience. You know, when you know, one of the goals that I had as far as helping mentor the subordinates that work for you was that my goal was always to try to help them achieve their next two major milestones. You know, and a lot of them at the time didn't understand, hey, you know, why am I being pushed so hard in being able to do a variety of different things? It's because, you know, my goal was to help them become more successful later in life, and by doing that, you know, they were able to do a lot more. And then at that time, you know, when you're working that team, you get as much as you can from the group, you know, but then there becomes a time when, okay, you've got to also help the team become successful. So you've got to have patience, you've got to allow them to grow, but you have to also understand that folks will make mistakes, and then you've got to figure out what you need to do in order to make sure that you're still meeting what you need to do. The other thing that you have to have is you need to be able to have that ability to listen and hear what's going on in an organization, and then be able to communicate have that network there to be able to talk about what you need to do. You know, and then finally, no matter what you're doing, you always have to set some goals, and you've got to write a plan. You know, whether it's a long-term plan for, you know, a year-long plan or a five-year plan, or in our case in Haiti, we still had to have a plan. Even though we were called, you know, on a weekend and we were reporting on Tuesday, we still had to develop a plan, you know, and set goals in order to know what direction that you're heading. So even if it's a short-term need, you still have to do those things in order to be successful as a successful team.
You know, Rudy, one of the things that comes up as you go through this list is that it's applicable whether you're dealing with a family at home, whether you're dealing with a college student, or somebody that's going into the job market, or somebody who's a senior leader. And having a plan for your family, as an example, and having the patience to let your kids learn lessons and let them make mistakes, understanding there's consequences to making mistakes, but there's also room for growth. Being willing to listen and listen to the people that work for you, or listen to your kids, or listen to your spouse. And then taking care of the team. Taking care of the home team is crucial. And a lot of people don't understand the value of recognition and reward. You know, it's been said that recognition is something that babies cry for and men die for. And you start understanding the impact and what that means from a leader's perspective. You talked about the people that have worked for you, and they didn't understand it at the time. They didn't understand why it is that you're driving them 2 years or two milestones down the road. But what has it been like for you to hear from those folks later? What did it mean to them?
Well, I will tell you that I've been very rewarded by, you know, listening to the stories of all the subordinates over the years, and then watching them hit those milestones and actually achieving their goals. And you know, as watching the young junior officers now, and I got a note the other day about one of my officers that was selected to be a commander or a captain of a destroyer in Hawaii. And so it's, you know, exciting. Wow. To watch, you know, hey, that young officer is now going to be a captain of a ship. So that's probably one of the biggest rewards you could have, to watch folks that have worked for you become successful, and there's no price on that. So it's pretty awesome.
That's amazing. You've also had you've had a very successful family. You've got kids, and now you're a granddad. You don't look old enough to be a granddad, but congratulations on that. What has it been like from a family perspective for you?
You know, one of the things that finishing up almost a year ago with the Navy is that, one of the things you have to do is have some balance. So sometimes, work is, but you always have to have family in there. And I think my post-Navy career is a little bit more, I reshaped my life balance. So I've got more time now to be able to spend time with family, and still continue to work. I think one of the reasons why I joined Patriot Mission was I wasn't done giving back to the country. And so for me, I'm taking on that ability to be able to help continue to help the country by doing the work that we're doing with Patriot Mission. And, the one thing that I did miss as far as, the military is that camaraderie. And so what I've found through the Patriot Mission organization is that we're going around the country and talking to some great citizens from all over, and being able to work together for a common goal of making our country better. So, for me, it's very rewarding to be able to not only do that, and as well as I'm looking forward to working with my family and doing more things with Patriot Mission.
You know, Rudy, your experience and the opportunity that you've had in your military career and the way you've applied that to massive missions is one of the reasons that we get along well. It's one of the reasons that you stepped up to help design a strategic plan to implement a massive dream to lead Americans to rediscover that shining city on a hill. People right now are feeling very frustrated and very concerned for our future. They're concerned about the economy. They're concerned about national security. They're concerned about the future for our kids. And so being able to apply those lessons right now is crucial. And in the trenches, at every dining room table, there is at least one parent, and hopefully two, and some kids right now. And in the last minute or so, if you had an opportunity to speak directly to that family and help encourage them to step up and become the leaders they are, what would you share with them?
You know, what I would do is you can sit back and watch, and then let things happen, or you can get involved. And I think for me, it's, if whatever you're doing. So if you're in, whatever job you're doing or whatever you're doing with the community is learn about it. Get involved, talk to the people, and then if you're not happy with what's going on, then figure out what can you do to make it better. And, if each individual would do that, then, and you start building those teams that are, that are highly effective, then you're going to be able to make an impact.
So you'll make an impact when you get in the game.
That's right.
So quit whining about what everybody else needs to do. You step up, you get in the game. And if that begins to happen, county and community after community across the nation, we will make America strong again. And that's what this is all about. Rudy Laco, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Steve.
So next week, we're going to have another leader join us. We're going to have an exciting time and continue this leadership series. Until then, thanks for being with us.
Making America Strong Again is brought to you by Patriot Mission. To learn more about national restoration, get free resources at www.makingamericastrongagain.com.